Good afternoon, everyone. Well, on Tuesday, just a couple of short days from now, my family is heading off to Australia for a long-planned Make-A-Wish trip. We were thinking a few weeks ago and talking about this trip that it's going to be a little bit nice where we're going to be able to skip most of December leading up to Christmas time. At least it'll be nice being in Australia. They celebrate Christmas there as well, but not to the extent that they do here in the United States. We fly back on the 25th, so effectively we skip a good chunk of all the preparation leading up to Christmas. And although our neighbors already have their lights put up, their inflatables put up, we get to skip at least some of it. Well, most of us have been in the church for a long time, and we haven't celebrated Christmas for many years. Maybe others stopped more recently. For our family specifically, we've been in the church our whole lives, so we've never celebrated Christmas. And in situations like that with ourselves, we often find some of the customs that we didn't grow up with that other people do to be a little bit unusual, especially Christmas. And over the years, as we've explained like Halloween and Christmas to our children, it has reinforced how strange some of those traditions really are. It used to be that the concept of Christmas being or having pagan roots was considered to be a novel idea, and was one that was almost a challenge to mainstream Christians. Many churchgoers, including some of our friends and acquaintances, had this challenge against Christmas as one of the primary fire starters that got them looking into the Bible. It was an issue that piqued their interest and opened the door for them to investigate other doctrines. But nowadays, this has become a little bit less of an issue. Christmas, for many families, has become more of a secular day, a day of getting together with friends and family, and less wrapped up into the customs and traditions of old. The idea that it's rooted in some form of paganism doesn't seem to have the same type of impact that maybe it once had. You might hear someone say, well, yes, I know that Christmas has pagan roots, but almost everything has some type of pagan roots. We aren't worshiping the sun after all, we're worshiping Jesus Christ. And if we're honoring Christ without doing those pagan practices of old, how can it be wrong? Is it wrong to worship the birth of Christ? Can't we keep Christmas if we do it the right way? Well, have you ever heard that argument before? And maybe we can simplify that argument and just ask this. Is it okay to celebrate Christ on Christmas if we diligently avoid other pagan customs on that day? Well, I came across some time ago an interesting article from Grace Communion International. That's the church that Worldwide transformed into some years ago. And they actually have an article about this very thing. In fact, the article was called Paganism, Where Should Christians Draw the Line? And you know what? It actually had some really good points in it. It talks about things that we do and things that we own that can be traced back to some form of paganism way back when, like wedding rings or symbols on the U.S. currency, or you name it. Or even the fact that the names of the days of the week go back and have roots in foreign gods. So the article says that why would you hypocritically draw the line at Christmas when there are so many other things that have roots in paganism? And it even brings out these five helpful points. Still in this article here, it says, it's not wrong to rejoice at the birth of Christ. It's not wrong to do this every year. It's not wrong to add a religious festival. The date of December 25th isn't necessarily pagan. And five, even if it was pagan, it isn't automatically wrong to do things that used to be pagan, such as wedding rings or funeral customs, statues, and names of the day. Well, so what about it? What would we say to those types of arguments? Certainly, do we think it's wrong to have an extra worship service or an extra service to honor Jesus Christ? Well, I think to answer this question in our overall argument about Christmas, let's turn back to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. This might not be a section of scripture you go to when thinking about this topic. 1 Kings chapter 12. Let's first summarize some of the events that lead up to this chapter in 1 Kings. We have King Solomon towards the end of his reign, and things are going downhill and going south pretty quick. God decides to take a big portion of the United Kingdom of Israel and Judah and split it into two. He's going to give half of it to his son, and the other half is going to go to Jeroboam. 1 Kings chapter 12, we see the fulfillment of this. The northern tribes of Israel revolt and join Jeroboam and make him their king. Let's pick it up in verse 26. 1 Kings 12, starting in verse 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, that's the king of the northern tribe that split away. 1 Kings 12:26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. That is to say that the people might have a desire to go back and be reunified after they split. Verse 27. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Now you'll remember that Jerusalem was still in the southern king of Judah. And Jeroboam thought that if people, his people, went down into Jerusalem to the temple to worship there, then they would turn their hearts back to God, and then he would be in trouble as a usurper. Verse 28, therefore the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. Dropping down to verse 32, still in 1 Kings 12. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel, he installed the priests of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, and the month which he had devised in his own heart, and he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burned incense. All right, so what's so problematic about this section? So, of course, it was wrong to create idols and ordain priests incorrectly. That is no question about that. But one of the core issues is that he changed the context of worshiping God. He polluted it. He transformed it deliberately. In making these alterations, he changed the dynamics of God's plan. And he intentionally cheapened the way God was using his temple and the structures of the priests and the Levites at that time. And as a result, he didn't just introduce false idolatry into Israel, but he took and he twisted and he perverted godly concepts so that all the real meaning was drained out. It's the same way that changing the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday can be devious. Of course, it's not wrong to worship God on Sunday. We should worship God on every day of the week, of course. But by changing the Holy Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, you change the context of what the Sabbath rest is about. It pulls a thread that starts to unravel the entire garment. You then lose the understanding of what the Sabbath rest really pictures. You lose the concept of what holy time is and what being holy or set apart truly means. In the same way, adding a religious ceremony like Jeroboam did in 1 Kings changed the dynamics of what the real holy day plan God had in mind truly is. Inserting a new holy day changes the context of the linear progression of the seven actual holy days God ordained. Even if we strip away all the pagan rituals of Christmas and we took away the lies of a jolly fat man and reindeer and the breaking of entering and leaving presents in a tree under your house, even if we stripped it all the way down to a simple religious ceremony worshiping the birth of Christ, we still have that same problem. God already picked out the days that he sanctified and gave us the reasons for doing so. If we take it upon ourselves to add or remove to that list, even with good intentions, we dilute or change the other days. And we weaken the context of God's overall plan. God certainly knows what he's doing. He didn't accidentally forget to tell us to worship the birth of his son. And he didn't give us a pass for introducing this event or any other religious celebrations outside of the ones he already did. Well, in conclusion, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. This is right in the middle of a large section of instructions and reiterations of commandments to Israel before they enter the promised land. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 12, we have specific instructions to the Israelites as they encounter the pagan customs of the nations they are about ready to conquer. Deuteronomy chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 28. Again, Deuteronomy 12, 28. It says, "Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well for you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How do these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise.'" Then notice this next verse here, verse 31, "You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. You shall not worship the true God, the real God, with wrong customs and wrong celebrations. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." Well, Christmas and many other holidays fall squarely into this category. And Christmas will soon pass, and thankfully we get to skip over all the Christmas songs over in Australia. But let's hold on to the holy day plan that God gives us and celebrate the right things at the right time.